Now, I'm excited. Sean Wu I asked him a couple weeks ago. I said, "Hey, Sean, for graduation Sunday, would you be willing to preach?" And he said, "I'll pray about it. I want to. I've preached in Chinese, but this would be the first time I preach in English, and I can identify with that. I remember preaching in Portuguese for the first time, but." The good thing is that God's word is just as valid in Chinese and English and any other language. Amen? So if he preaches, if he slips some Chinese in there, we'll have some of you students that'll say amen, and the rest of us will go, oh my. But we're looking forward to what God's put on his heart. And Sean not only does, you know, is with college students as a profession, as the IT department head, but also as a calling, as he, you know, gives testimony of coming to Christ as a PhD student at Auburn, and then really following God's leading and going back into education and teaching so that he could be with students and influence lives. And God has given their family a very unique opportunity to not only be on the campuses of Kennesaw State University and other universities in the past, but also to have many students and professors in their home, and just to be living examples of this is the difference that Christ makes in our life. So Sean, come on up.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are you awake? Okay. So actually, when I was asked by Pastor David about preaching for today, I was thinking, okay, of course, and Pastor David already talked about my thoughts about, you know, the language. But so at the same time, I just thought about why he invited me to preach for today. Oh, today is graduation day, right? And so maybe I have seen more graduations than maybe any of you, likely. Okay, so because the position God gave me to work in the academia as a professor, as a department chair, so I had the opportunity and privilege. I was blessed to see many graduations. I have graduated more than 30 plus graduate students, master students, PhD students. And so I attended their commencements. So yeah, I have seen a lot of myself. Actually, I have, you know, I had at least three major graduations in the college. I graduated with my bachelor degree and first, and then I graduated with my master degree. And then I came into the United States, I graduated with my PhD degree. So I held all different types, different stages, graduations, okay. So, but also, another interesting thing is that when Billy heard about, okay, I'm going to preach today, Billy said, okay, wow, okay, I will definitely come. Even I did not have enough sleep, I will come today. I mean, last week when we talked about that, I just thought about, it's just because Pastor David preached too much. We need some fresh air. No, I'm joking. Okay, so another just opposite case is that, okay, when Ethan heard about I'm going to preach, and Ethan said, okay, almost every Saturday we heard about the professor who was talking in the Chinese Bible study, and nothing will be new. Okay, I'm kidding too, so. But anyway, it depends on whatever we think about, but I would say, I mean, in the United States, after I came to the United States, attended my PhD graduation commencement, and also attended, of course, later my students, graduate students, their commencement ceremonies. Then I found it a big thing, because in China, many graduates from the college, they may not appreciate that much about the ceremony itself. But here, actually, that's a big thing. And you say family members, friends, all come, you know, right, and to celebrate. But I would say that it's very interesting. I worked at different universities. In KSU, it's a little bit different, because all other universities, when they are graduating, they have the commencement ceremony, they normally invite external, like, keynote speakers and encourage or challenge graduates. But here, KSU, we did not have any, like, university level that kind of commencement together. No any, like, keynote speech for all the graduates of the whole university. Basically, it's more like based at a college-based. So why I talk about that? Because when I work at other university or I, in my own PhD graduating ceremony, those keynotes are, I would say, very encouraging and challenging. So of course, it depends on. So I watched actually also some other universities' commencement keynotes. I think among all, I have seen or experienced, two of them stood very out to me. One is that, you can search that on YouTube. One is the former North Dame coach commencement address at Franciscan University in 2015, and his keynote speech is about you need four things in your life. Okay, his name is Lo Hauts. Yeah, he's already retired. Okay, you know, North Dame football is very famous. So, another one, actually, that's even back in when I was in my PhD study, because I came to United States in 2005. So that year, actually, Steve Jobs, how many of you still know Steve Jobs? He's not here today anymore. But he gave a commencement speech at Stanford University. So his topic is called Stay Hungry, Stay Foolish. I was encouraged very much back to that time. Basically, he talked about, okay, he's not a Christian, but he basically talked about, okay, if you only have one day left in your life, what would you do on that day? So that's how you get, you know, need to think about how do you spend your life. So even he's not a Christian, but I mean, from the secular perspective, if you really think about how much you left, or you only have one day, what you would choose to do. So that's how you spend your life, right? But for like believers, even we need to think about that more. So we, if we only have one day in this world, and what we should do. So, okay. But anyway, so after I talk about, you know, those keynote speeches, I just talk about the importance. But today, I would like to look at commencement speech, like a keynote from Jesus. Okay, when I thought about which part, like verses, I would like take from the Bible for today's message, I thought about different places. You know, and one time the pastor from Macon and preached us about you know, Joshua before his death, and he gave a speech, right? And he used that somehow like to compare with a graduation speech. But the first actually passage standing out to me in my mind is actually this passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 11. I think many of us already are very familiar with this passage. Before Jesus went back to heaven. So I give a little bit of background about this part, okay? So basically, when Bible like talk about that moment, and Jesus already died on the cross, already resurrected from death, and he already had appeared to his disciples and even different people in different places for almost 40 days, right? Sorry, I need more water. So what does it mean? So he already fulfilled his promise about salvation, and he did not quietly, you know, immediately left after his resurrection. So that 40 days, I think, are very important, at least to me. Because when I was seeking, I was thinking about, okay, if Jesus did not stay those 40 days, it's hard for a human, like strong will like me, would like to believe he's really resurrected. Why? Because I can always say maybe my ancestor also resurrected, but I never saw him. They died. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, and I think God is very merciful, at least to people like me. And so he knows that, okay, what kind of struggles I could have before I come to him. So anyway, so I just thought about that, okay, in this moment, Jesus already appeared to many other people, and including those disciples, And then before he went back to heaven to sit on the side of beside the Father. And so he talked about this part of verses, okay? This part. Okay, from we're going to do this. I will not read this whole message at this moment. We will look at those verses as we move on, okay? So I would say this part of this passage, basically, I would like to share about three things. The first thing is that graduation ends the past, but starts the future. So if we look at the verse 6 and 7, so this 7 and just 6, 7 and 8, okay? So he says, so when they had come together, they asked him, asked Jesus, basically they means disciples. They asked, okay, disciples asked Jesus, said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, Jesus said to disciples, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So those two verses, okay, and I'm not sure how do you think about it, but when I read Bible through after many times, I realized one thing, because in the even after I believed, in the first few rounds of reading Bible, I was a little bit confused by the responses of disciples before this moment. Why? Because it looks like they understand who Jesus is, okay, the Christ. Even like Peter said, okay, you're the Christ, the one. But on the other side, they misunderstood all the time why Jesus, like why Jesus need to die or something. They don't understand what Jesus talked about. So even like by this moment, you can say that verse 6 talks about, okay, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I think the mentality of the disciples always think about, okay, before Jesus' death, they think about, okay, Jesus, you came, yes, and we follow you. And so soon later, and Jesus will lead us to basically conquer the whole world, and so God's kingdom come. I think that's their expectation, right? But after Jesus repeatedly told them that, okay, he's not coming in that moment for that situation. And at the end, oh yes, Jesus died. That's why a lot of disciples get like scared away on the light when Jesus was arrested. Because they were scared. They said, okay, we follow you. We hope you were just like the King of Kings and to conquer everything. But now you even get such weak, you know, and it gets arrested. So, but after, like on the third day, and then Jesus resurrected and they saw, they all saw, right? And then experienced the 40 days and they feel probably, oh, now Jesus, you can resurrect it. You do have the power, right? And we're not afraid of. I'm not so scared as the light you were arrested because you resurrected. Now, it could be the time now, right? If any other time, it's now. Please lead us to, you know, have God's kingdom onto this world. So, unfortunately, so that's why they ask about this. I think there is still expect. When I think about this, that reminded me about the time when Peter, John, James, they were with Jesus on the top of the mountain when Jesus changed, transfigured, okay? But then, do we remember at that moment, and when Peter saw all those magnificence, and he just said, okay, Lord, let's set up 3 tents. We do not need to go back to the world. Okay, this is the beautiful, just the heavenly time, right? So let's just enjoy here. What I will say from verse 6 is that, okay, as human being, we always want certainty. We always want control of our life. We do not want uncertainties. Why? Because if we live with Jesus on that mountain, everything is there. We do not have worried about our life anymore. So, right? It's done. The same, by this time, if Lord has the kingdom, unto this world, and so the world is done. So life is done. We had all the beautiful things. So I think that's part of our human corrupted nature. We are not. We want to have control. Okay, we want to for certainty. But would you go? Yeah, Lex. Yeah. So, but God is very different. God wants us to have faith in Him. So, and I would say, even like from our academic study, I think it for many graduate students who are graduating, I think you all are quite excited, right? Because you finish this big chapter in your life, and you are probably, you are very dreaming about your next step, I would say. But look, during this time, probably you are also a little bit worried or anxious about what's going on ahead. I'm not sure how many of you already found you already had your job locked down so far. I mean, you're a graduate. I know, like, Annika already had a job, and so Ethan already knew, okay, what's the next step? He's already admitted into the PhD program. So I'm not sure, or others, maybe you are still looking for a job, right? And so you don't know what will happen, how soon Lord will give you the job. But the thing is that, okay, just like here, we really want God to give us the answer right now, even like during our prayer. But God's way is not that way. And so we actually can look at that from a few Bible verses from the Bible. Like Proverbs 16:9 told that, okay, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So many times we may have a lot of plans. We think about, I can recall that when I was graduating from my college time, bachelor, okay, undergraduate, and I was thinking about, okay, what work I want to do and so on. But actually end up later, it's completely different. So we may have our plan, but we have to be aware it's not us who are controlling the plan, who are controlling the steps. Like even when Paul tried to, like in Acts, recording Acts, right? He tried to go east, go north when he was in the area, what's that area name in English? I forgot, but I mean, I love you in Chinese. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about before they went to across the Gulf to the other side, on the Philippine side, okay? So before he saw that Macedonia vision, and they tried different ways, they had a plan, but remember, and they did not force through, I have to go this way. But so just be open mind, and Lord may give us different directions different from our plan. But that's what exactly we need him in our life. Otherwise, we just need ourselves. We are God of ourselves. That's very dangerous, right? Okay, Bible verses, okay, now reminds us the same as well in James chapter 4, 13, 15. So he says, okay, come now, you who says today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Does that talking about Sean, the finance, okay. Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if Lord wills, we will live and do this or not. So we have to be aware when we are making plans for our future, for next step. No matter we are stepping out of academics into industry or into our PhD program or into, you know, ministry, we have to submit our plans to God's will. If God will, and we could do this or not, or that. Okay, so I want to share a little bit about my own journey. When I was graduating from my master program, and actually I graduated my master program was in the same school as Ethan's undergraduate. So basically, we are alumni of that university. That university. So back to that time, that's back in 2001. And after that year, 911 event happened, okay? But I graduated before that. Back to that time, I didn't know Jesus. I never heard about Jesus. Nobody shared gospel with me. I will talk about a story at the end of today's speech, but not yet. But actually, we did have classmates of believers. They didn't share gospel with me, okay? Anyway, so I never heard about gospel. And so when I graduated, and back to that time, all our mindset was we need to find the highest, that year was very we're good in terms of job market. I graduated with a background from like a telecommunication computer background. And then that year, a lot of American companies opened their offices in China. And also, Chinese technical industries like Huawei and Zhongxin, they also grew up back to that time. So almost like graduates like us, everybody got at least 3 or 4 offers, different offers upon the graduation time. So actually, of course, they try to, take people, compete with each other. They try to erase their pay, okay? So our mindset was that, okay, we will say, which one will be the highest salary, okay? We wait to say that. And then what could be the best career opportunities will be in front of us. So we had a lot of opportunities, and so we choose one. So that's our mindset, I would say, okay? What was driving my life? It's about money. It's about career opportunities, how far I can go. And why I mention about this, because back to that time, I think we were trying to control life. We are trying to secure our future through our career and through money, by through fame, by through positions. Okay, that's our security. But actually, yes, we are trying to control everything. As we said, just as the disciples, they want to be assured. But at the same time, actually, when I graduated from Auburn University, my PhD program, back at that time, I already believed. And so I remember, actually, I was challenged somehow by the Lord. Very interesting. We have more than 10 PhD students graduating from our department, it's a large department. And so almost all of them had a job offer by the time, by almost 2 or 3 months before the graduation time. But I didn't get it. But the thing is that my record, my academic record, was almost the strongest among them. I had the strongest record, but I did not get a security job offer. So I prayed to God. I said, Lord, if you don't want to give me a job offer, back at that time, I just believed 1 year, okay? I said, okay, I'm okay if you want me to go back to China to work, if you do not give me a job offer here. I'm fine with it, because now I know you, and so I know I should submit to your plan. But I just a little bit worried because I'm just 1 year old, believer. I'm not sure if I go back to China in that kind of environment, I can survive. So that's my concern. But I said, if that's your plan, I will just submit. And very interesting, 1 month later, almost in April, in the spring semester. And so, anyway, I will long story short, and I got a job offer from industry. And I can tell definitely it's God's, testimony. And he just wanted me first to be submissive to his plan. And not because I have the strongest record, so I got the job offer, yay, I'm happy. No, he wants me to say, it's not about what you have done. It's about what I will do for you. So anyway, by sharing this, of two of my own graduation, times, and I want to, you also to be aware. And no matter you had a very strong record at this moment or not, but it's God's will and God's plan for our next step. And so let's submit it to his plan for us. Okay, so the second sub-point for the big one is about, okay, in uncertainties, and let's stay focused on God. We actually talk about this not at our Saturday night Bible study. And we have most students, you know, talk about, you know, yes, and some of them, you already know that they believe, they accept it. But they always have a question. I also sometimes too. Okay, so what's God's plan for me? Can God give me just a to-do list like A, B, C, D, E? I just go to check them out, right? So that's very easy. Then that would be much better. At least I know what's going to happen. But unfortunately, God's way is not that way. So I would say we talk about this as well and why God does not give us just this list. So I think I share with them that, okay, if God gives us all this list of our life on us, I challenge them, are you still to trust in him or not? Because you already saw what's exactly going to happen. We do not need any faith. We know what's going to happen next, right? So we will just live with that nest without God. So I think God does not want us to know what's going to happen. It's not because he doesn't love us, but he wants us to depend on him. He is the authority sovereign. So, okay. But at the same time, I assured our students, I said, okay, if we look at Jeremiah 29:11, no matter what happened in our life, no matter we're up or down, where we are experiencing big trials, but God already promised in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and hope. I think this gives me a very, very, very big assurance, truly speaking, when every time I experience uncertainties. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know God has a plan for me, and he's a loving God. He will never want to destroy me. He just wants to restore me. So, and when I shared this part of a testimony of my life or my family, probably some of you already knew this. And back to the time when we were in Mississippi in 2013, the last year I stayed in Mississippi, and there was a tornado. And actually, during that time, God is truly very merciful and loving us. And so he brought us out of the house 30 minutes the tornado happened. And so we were staying with another Chinese deacon. Back at that time, we had the Chinese church planted. And so that's the Chinese New Year, and so we were making dumplings and together and so on. And so, and we actually had the a very good time, and then we saw the tornado happen from his window, and the tornado, we saw, actually see in my eyes. But what I say is that, okay, we never imagined that happened to our house. But after that, we tried to go back to our house. We never find a way back because all the ways get blocked, okay, and by the National Guard. So whatever. So finally, we got back home and found out, okay, the house, the roof is gone. Whatever you saw on the TV, that's exactly what it looks like. The roof is gone. The good thing is that we have the bricks, all bricks on all sides, and so the wall are we're standing there, but the roof is gone. And back to that time, David was just 5 years old. And he was worried about his Legos because that one room had a lot of Legos there, okay. But anyway, so when all those things happen, and if you ask me, how did I think? I can tell you that I don't know what's the next step, but I'm very sure God has his plan. That's what I only know. So I just want to share this with you that, okay, no matter after our graduation, our next step, even like we graduate from just this year, not necessarily, not like a big graduation, but our next step, we don't know, but God has the plan for us. Okay, so the second point I want to share is about walk in spirit and be his witness regardless of where we go. If we look at the Bible verse and verse 8, how Jesus responded to them, after Jesus said, okay, it's not for you to know what time, season, and God has fixed his own, has fixed it by his own authority, then verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So God did not promise us, give us a list, but he promised the tool he will give us to enable us. That's the Holy Spirit. So I remember we had a conversation in the last two Saturdays, and we shared about how we need to be aware, and every day we rely on Holy Spirit. Not just Monday, not just Sunday, or just Saturday night we meet together, or Wednesday night we pray together. I remember Benny shared, okay, wow, I just realized, yeah, I need more of God's power in my working day, Monday to Friday as well. So that's not exactly what he said, but I just translated what he said. Basically, it's more like, oh, yes. And we are, why I feel so weak in those days? Probably just because I'm not abiding in Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus talked about in John chapter 15, right? And without me, you can do nothing. So I want to remind everybody, okay, the first thing is that why we need the Holy Spirit to be in our life, to enable us, need his power. So the first thing is that I think we often forget, and we are living a visible physical world, but behind us, there is an invisible spiritual world. So let's look at one Bible verse, not one Bible verse, I mean a small passage from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 13. It says, okay, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I think many of us are familiar with this passage when Paul read this later, okay? Put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and the blood, but against the ruler, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days and have done all to stand firm. The key verse in this passage I want to stress is that for we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual force of evil. So, truly speaking, I often think about this. Every day when we're living our life or make our decisions, we often forget we have a spiritual world behind us. We often just, based on our experience, what's the surrounding, what's the situation, and then easily make our decision. But we really needed to, including myself, need to pause a little bit, think about, okay, what is the spiritual meaning of this, maybe? And I remember in one Saturday night, Ethan mentioned about, okay, he's a little bit unclear about the spiritual war, because he heard about it, we talk about the spiritual war, you know, from different of us. But he I would say, he basically think about, okay, that's much, what it means, spiritual war, and so on, okay? So I just, we opened the Bible, and I guided them to look at the passage, I forgot the exact chapter, but in Book of Daniel. And so in that place, talk about Daniel prayed there for days, and then the angel came, told him, and your prayer already like heard by God many days ago. I was coming to you, and but why I get delayed? Because I was fighting with the angels of the behind the king. So when I first time read that passage, that gave me a big, like I would say, how should I use the vocabulary? So Chinese, okay, but English, okay. I mean, it's kind of, yeah. So basically, yeah, I never thought about it. It's so real. It's so real. It's not just like, okay, that spiritual thing is far away from me. And so if you think about that, yes, there is the king, and this is Daniel. And so behind them, they have spiritual angels, and they even have spiritual war behind them. So they are not... Daniel doesn't know that, didn't know that, the king didn't know that, but whatever happened, it's real. So it's not just, it's not a fiction there. So then that gave me the exact idea that, okay, it's not just because sometimes we say the demon sees these people and, you know, behave crazily, that's kind of, you know, spiritual thing, but actually our everyday, our life, our decision behind that, we have spiritual war ongoing. I told students like at my home Saturday nights, I said, no matter you want to accept this or not, whenever we do something and we have spiritual meaning behind, we are making choices almost on every decision, everything we do in our daily life. Either we're making choices spiritually toward God, or we're making spiritual, you know, decisions towards Satan. There is no any other choice. Unfortunately, in many days, we think we are living a gray ground. We think it's not black, it's not white. We're living in the middle ground. We're okay. We're living in next kind of next zone, you know, without war. But I want to tell you from Bible, it's not. No matter we believe it or not, every decision we are making, everything we are doing, either we're making something pleasing to God or making something pleasing to Satan. So I think we have to be aware of that. Okay, that's why this we need a spirit, just as in the verse 8 here, because if we do not walk in the spirit, and we will have problem. We are not against just this world, but against the spiritual evil spirit. Okay, so now let's move on to next one, witness. I want to tell more about the witness, and the Lord says here, you will be, after you get the Holy Spirit, what's the purpose? Holy Spirit is not here to just help us to get a bigger house, to get a bigger car, fancy car. It's not to get a much smoother life. It is to be Jesus' witness. So when I talk about witness, I think I had much more thinking and understanding about how do we really share gospel with others. So we often stress this, our life is the best way or channel to share our gospels. It's not just about you tell others about who is Jesus and how what he has done. Yes, that's important. But if our life does not demonstrate that, that basically just stumble others. And so I think actually in our Saturday night group, and we should talk about a lot of those like bad examples, good examples, okay? But I would say witness, that's what God wants us to have for Jesus. Okay, so because of time, I would not talk about everything I prepared, but I just want to mention a few things, and you all, some of us already have experienced that. So, for example, man is going back this summer, next week, back to his family. And he used in my like office and in the past, and he used to talk about how to talk about the gospel and to his family and so on. He prepared a lot, biblical knowledge, I would say, and think about how to defend, argue with different types of people. But a few weeks back, and we share about different things, he said, "No, professor, I realize," and I think he talked to Christina and some others as well. He realized, yeah, the best way to share gospel is his transformed life. Amen. It's not really like to try to, you argue somebody, you win the argument. It's not. It's about, and we also heard about Versen's testimony on YSF Friday, right? And so in the summer, last summer, but Pastor David knew that. And so he messaged Pastor David. And so he had a background of Hindu, and he went back to his family. His parents probably also Hindu believers as well. And so he did not know how to talk to his parents about his conversion to Christianity and or accepted Jesus as a savior. But at the end, his parents said, "Son, I don't know what happened, but we like what happened in you. Amen. Just keep on." So that's the best. That's the testimony and Jesus here talked about. The same thing, and Benny, after he believed, he accepted, and his friends in China, they chat on the like Chinese social chat, like WeChat, and they found this guy is different now. And he's thinking, and he talked about Jesus. So what happened to this guy? So they're curious. No matter in this moment, they may not open to accept what he chose, but he failed the difference. That's exactly the witness. And the same thing when Ethan shared that one day he talked to his mom over the phone or over WeChat, I don't know exactly, but yes, like a video chat. And so at the end, his mom said, "You're different." So anyway, guys, the difference felt by others, that's exactly the witness Jesus talked about. Amen. So, okay, anyway, the last point of this point two, I would say, we're all the ambassadors of Jesus to this world. So you're graduating. Maybe you will move to somewhere. Maybe you will not stay with my hope or even not in Atlanta. But remember, Jesus said here, and you will be the witness to who? From Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. That's why God placed us in different places. That's why God maybe gave you different jobs in your whole lifetime. I would say many of us, including me, like a stable life. And so many people, when they learned about how many places I lived, they would get surprised and shocked. And so most of the time, probably we want to choose stay one place forever. That's where you have the networking, you have friends, you have so many people around you. You have your church family as well. Yeah, but God wants us to bury his witness to the whole world. So that's why, no matter where you go, maybe not necessarily your next step, but on your way, on your trip. That's why a man shared with Ethan, I heard from Ethan that, okay, man gave me an assessment that on the train back from Venice to Rome, I was so energetic. what I heard from Ethan, okay? I didn't know you did not tell me exactly. But truly speaking, whenever I talk about gospel, we talk about what Jesus done in my life, I feel the most energetic. Yeah. It's much more energetic for me to talk about that than I talk about how many papers I have published, how many grants I have received, how many students I have graduated. Why? Because I know that's the most important thing. It's not about my obligation, it's about what he has done. That's true, I experienced. I cannot keep silent about it. So I talk about 3 hours on that express train from Venice back to Rome, and so man felt too tired to sleep. After he woke up, he found that I still was keeping talking about that with the couple from Brazil, the doctor couple. So man and me sit on this side, and the couple sit on the other side. So we keep talking. That's what happened, okay. But anyway. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I will skip a lot of Bible verse here, but I will jump to the last point, the third point of today, the last point. He will come back again. So let's read the second part of this passage, okay? From 9, and when he had said these things to Jesus, is the disciples were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heavens as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robe and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." He will come back. That's his promise. And Jesus talked about in different places to disciples. He is preparing the rooms for us. He will come back. And from the fact of his coming back, I found two things in me, okay? The first thing is that reinforces his love. So I believe we all know this story if you read the Bible, not maybe every one of us, but if you really read the Bible one time, probably you remember the story of lost son. So then when I rethink about the story of the lost son, and we know that at the end, when the lost son came back home, who went out to receive the son? The father. From the story, we can imagine that family, that father had a lot of servants. Definitely, right? He has a rich family. He can either send out maybe the second, servant to recommend or to welcome, but he did not stay in the house. He went out. So when I think about Jesus coming back, I think about the same way. And he can easily send just a group of angels. Why bother? He came out to get us back to him, back to the family. But he will come back again. Of course, he has a lot of side we will talk about soon about his coming back. But this side, I think from now, that's just kind of reinforcement to me. And he does not only just die on the cross, but he will also come by himself and to welcome home on that day. But so just like we just sent this worship song this morning, right? We believe. And so one verse talk about it, right? And we believe in the resurrection and he's coming back again. So yes, that's part of our belief. And he will come back again. But the other side of his coming back means accountability. Then in Bible, it does clearly talk about this. I know we all like listening to good words. But unfortunately, many of my preachings and my sermons talk about challenges. So many people don't like my sermon and my preaching because they don't feel comfortable after they hear about it. So the last thing I really want to mention about accountability. God gives us gifts. God gave us our job after graduation. God gave us family, gave us different things in our life. But please don't forget, and we have the accountability. Just in my, recently, and we had a collaborative program on campus, and we have three departments, but the program is homed in my department, and the other two departments are collaborative. And so, because we just recently changed the structure, and one faculty representative from all other departments, and talking about, okay, he asked about voting rights, about different, you know, like curriculum change, different things. And I told him, it's not about the right we don't want to give you, but it's about the accountability you will not take, but we have to take. If we allow you to do whatever you would like, and who is going to be responsible for what will happen in the future? The same thing. We all, as believers, I think, or no matter you believe or not at this moment, even you just study in the academics, have not graduated yet, if you are going into the workplace, don't just think about the privileges, your rights. We talk about a lot in today's culture. We have this right, we have that right, but few people talk about accountability. We often talk about this in my family to my kids. You all want this freedom, you all want that resources. At the end, what's your accountability? You have to be responsible, accountable for what you have or opportunities. It's not from me. Let's look at a few Bible verses, okay? Let's look at Romans 14:12. It says, so then, I'm not sure if I have that Bible verse here, but I just added that onto my notes this morning, okay? So it says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Yes, before this, it talks about, like Romans 14:11 talks about, in the future, all nations will come to the front of God. But then it says, so then each of us will have an account of ourselves to God. How do we account ourselves? Each of us, I encourage you, think about by that day, what we can present to God. What kind of life we live on this earth. How much we spend our time on nonsense things, not glorify God. Especially I challenge young adults, young men, small kids, teenagers, how much time do you spend? You spend your time on nonsense things. How much time you spend on gaming? How much time you spend today? Think about the percentage of your time every day you spend. How do you face God on the day you need to give account? Another Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one will receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Everybody, it does not say only unbelievers. We know that unbelievers will receive internal separation from God. That's one of those. But believers, we also need to stand before the judgment of God. Don't just think, okay, I was saved. Now I will just do whatever I want to do. That's not the purpose of salvation. The last part, and many people probably missed one keyword. I would read this, like Revelation chapter 20, 12. It says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Of course, then after that, it talks about then another book was opened. That's the book of life, and the dead will be judged by what was written in books according to what they have done. All those books, there is a book about life, yes. That's the book we'll judge by God for internal, being with him, or separate from him. But there are other books. Did you see that? I'm not sure what the books recorded. I believe recorded each of us every day what we thought, what we did. You believe or not? I think God never, you know, miss anything. I don't know. On that day, when God opened the book of the description of my life, how shameful I will be. But of course, I know Jesus covered me. But I still needed to be aware. And after I was saved, I already knew what means the purpose of the salvation. and accounts of my life in that book will be. Just as one time Pastor David shared, if there is like a radio recorder and record every day our life, and then replay back to you, and we can say how messy our life is. But thank to God, thank to Lord Jesus. And because of his righteousness and his coverage, and so we can stand before God. But don't forget the accountability. If you are getting paid well, think about what's the accountability of the money God gives you. If you are living in a nice house, think about what God wants you to use your thing for his kingdom. That's why we have so many volunteers in the past year open their homes to receive new students, to care them, and so many of them can believe today. Don't forget the awareness, bearing the awareness to the world, no matter where you will go in God's plan after graduation. Let's pray together.